And desire your prayers. I feel very inadequate for the message this morning. I've never had one like it. So I am leaning on the Lord, but I want to start out and speak about two messages that we had recently. And I read this statement that I'm going to read for the third time, or maybe more. I'm going to read it again. I read it at the end of one message, and I read it at the beginning of the next message. It was the day that we preached two messages in one day. So the ultimate purpose of those messages were to magnify the keeping grace of God and for all of the redeemed of the earth. We had another message concerning the beauty of holiness, and we talked about the beauty of grace. It's wonderful how God's grace is always sufficient for those who will avail themselves of the grace of God. But the burden for this message is also to glorify the one who is worthy. And this coordinates with the Sunday school lesson this morning, but he's worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. And the word of the Lord says that. And so I'm going to read the statement once again. I read this somewhere and it left a very deep impression on my heart. It says, when the redeemed from every tribe, language, people, and nation are singing the song of the Lamb in his presence, there will be no question as to who was ultimately responsible for their salvation. It will be our loving and faithful God who called us all to the praise of his glorious grace. Now, I think maybe for you to be totally inspired with that statement, you may need to have it written in front of you and you read it yourself. But ultimately, we even said at the, following that statement, that we will be there only because of love. We had a song that we gave in that. But we also said, we spoke about God's, how that he feels such a grave responsibility for your soul and my soul and all the souls of the earth. And the reason he feels this grave responsibility is that not one of us asked to be born, and not one of us had anything to do with coming into this world, and yet we were born with a soul that was going to meet God in eternity, and therefore he feels this grave responsibility, yes, for every soul, and he made a plan that was perfect, that if anyone came to him, they would be able to be saved and escape a devil's hell. So we just feel like that the Lord is trying to impress upon us his great compassion for our souls in eternity. He cares and he wants us to be there. He said, I'm not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And he's not going to force anyone to take his way. So it's up to you and me if what we choose in life. He says, I set before you this day life and death. And he says, you get to choose. So we do choose where we will be in eternity. Well, one of the messages was on the last great day and of the second coming of Christ. I'm going to give just a short brief review. The second message, as we said, it magnified the keeping grace of God. We also spoke about the angel in Revelation, and that we mentioned the sound of the seventh thunder. The seventh thunder. The angel had one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. And then ultimately, and this commandment has not come yet, but I believe that it is near. And there was a commandment that the angel would announce that time would delay no longer. And I believe we're in that time right now, awaiting that commandment, and that it will be the angel that will make the announcement prior to the sound of the trump, which indicates the end of time. So I hope and I trust that by the help of the Lord, that what we present here today, that you might be able to grasp it, and it be enlarged. I want the Lord to enlarge these thoughts in the future. So I'm thinking that what we're going to speak of in the beginning here will possibly be the first scene after the end, the sound of the trump, the dead have arisen from the graves, those that are alive and remain are caught up in the air, ever to be with the Lord. I'm thinking of this scene that would possibly occur right after the judgment, the judgment bar of God. And the Bible speaks of the judgment bar of God. It's also called the judgment seat. And it is in that beginning of eternity for all of mankind that every inhabitant, the righteous, the wicked, will be judged for the deeds that are done in the body. We know the scripture tells us that there is a record that is being kept. God keeps the record. He knows our lives, and he is keeping a record of the deeds that you and I have done and will do or are doing. And that is what we are going to be judged by. We're going to be judged by the fact whether we have understanding or not, whether we have light or not. God is a fair and a just God, and he is going to judge everyone fairly. And it will come to all on the face of the earth. And there's a scripture that verifies that. It is 2 Corinthians 5:10. And this is what it says: "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So the scripture plainly tells us that there will be a time, I will give an account, you will give an account of the deeds that are done in our lifetime. So I want to begin now with three scriptures from Revelations that has been very impressed upon my heart. Revelations 14:13, it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write." And then this is what he was commanded to write: "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." I think this is a very important scripture that we don't often think about. And I believe that there's even other messages that could be given on the phrase here, that our works will follow us into eternity. And then Revelations 5:11-12, parts of those verses, "And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now, what does that make you think of? Does it make you think of our thanksgivings before the Lord? Now let's connect it with the last verse there in Revelations, Revelations 4. We're going to be looking at verses 2, 4, 10, and 11, parts of those verses. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and around about the throne I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And the elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And it says some more there, and you can study those little verses out when you're there at home in your devotions. But I wanted you to get the essence of the thought this morning, that there's going to be, for those who are the redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, who are singing the song of the Lamb, and they understand they wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the blood of the Lamb. You and I will not be there except we pass through the blood that cleanseth us from all sin. Thank the Lord. But they realize something. I didn't get here on my own. You're not going to get there on your own. Your works are going to go before you. Your works are going to follow you into eternity. And we want to think about how God is looking down upon each one of us today. He's doing everything he can to help us make heaven. We're in the last of the last days. We believe it with all of our heart. All of the scriptures indicate we're headed for eternity. And we even spoke of it in this other message here. It will happen in a moment. In a twinkle of an eye, there'll be no time for us to pray. We need to pray now. We need to be seeking God now, saying, Lord, search me and try me and see if there be a wicked way in me. This is the time for us to allow God's searching eye to penetrate our thoughts and our intentions. The scripture, and we said this in one of the other messages, that the heart is desperately wicked. And I don't care for that verse. It's not really a comforting verse, but it's a verse that should awaken us, that out of my heart comes the issues of life, the scripture says. But it says it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's not that God wants us to know what is in our heart, and he is a God that will reveal to us. He said that if we didn't have a perfect mind, that God would reveal this even unto you and me. And so he's wanting to show us if there's anything in our heart that will hinder us at the judgment bar of God, that we would not be able to enter into this next scene of casting our crowns at his feet. And by the way, the message of this song, the title of the message is Crowns of Glory. God is calling for, and we should feel the call to glorify him throughout our lives today. That's part of our thanksgiving, recognizing what God has done for us that we could not do for ourselves. But that we have nothing that holds merit, that I'm worthy to enter in to the gates of heaven except through the blood of Jesus. I remember hearing this story. Brother Souter would tell it. And it was about Brother Austis Wilson's father. Now, I didn't know him, but he lived at Shawnee. And Brother Souter knew him well. And he was a godly man. He was a godly preacher among the saints. And when he came down to the time of his passing, he would say, people would come to visit him. And they had such confidence in him, they would praise him and lift him up. And his answer was, it's only by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus. And so none of us are going to say, oh, I've been so good in my life that God's going to take me into heaven. I heard a little story about a young woman that was sick unto death, but she wouldn't face it until nearly the end of her life. She just felt like that she was still going to live. And she had been a very frivolous young woman. She was beautiful, and she always dressed in the finest, and she had friends that she claimed to. And so she had a life that was not necessarily a spiritual life. But as she came down to the end, she was fearful to die. But she said, I have been a church member. You know what? We cannot bank on being a church member. Or we can't bank on the fact that I went to church every Sunday or every time that there was a service. We can't bank on those things. Yes. We've still got to bank on and trust in the blood of Jesus. So I'll go on, and I'm just going to again proclaim to you that I feel very inadequate to even speak of these few verses here. It just seems like I've only got a little glimpse of the surface. And I'm just trusting that the Lord will use the word this morning to touch each one of us, that we can take something home and think about this, because we're all facing the end. Sister Rosa thought she was facing the end the other night, and she didn't have fear. You know, the Lord would like for us to come down to the end and not be afraid, but trust. It is always good for us to take it seriously. And I will say this, the night that Lorne was passing, well, we didn't know he was passing, but that whole night we didn't sleep. He was counting the cost. He was making sure. And that's where we all need to be. Just make sure. Lord, help me to make sure, make my calling and election sure. I'm going to go back and refer to the Revelations scripture there, that our deeds, our works will follow us into eternity. And if we are saved, it should be a comfort to us to know that that God is taking note of our works and our deeds. The next scripture I want to read is Hebrews 6 and 10. And I'm going to give you a number of scriptures, and I'm not going to give you near as many as there are concerning our deeds, our works, our labors in this life. When we get saved, we don't get saved just to be saved and go on with our life I never do anything meaningful. Our lives should be meaningful. From the time that we give our heart and our life to the Lord and we become a new creature in Christ, we should have a different ambition, different desires. Our life should be ordered by the hand of the Lord. We believe that, and we've said those things. That God is in control. What he allows in our life, he has purpose in it. He knows what he's doing to help us make heaven. So this scripture says, Hebrews 6 and 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have shewed toward his name. Now, whatever we do, and I think we may have this scripture, but we do all to the glory of God. Yes. It is not for my glory. It is not for my reputation. And I'm thinking of the disciples when they were being persecuted for Christ's sake. And as they went before the religious rulers, even though they were very much against them and opposed all that they did, you know what they said? They said they took note that they had been with Jesus. And that's what I feel like God is desiring, that our lives be hid in Him. He speaks about us having a closet experience, to go into our closet. And we don't literally go into a closet, a real closet, but we have our times that we are alone with God, and that He is alone with us. And I want to mention this, that in these days, the opposing powers of darkness are around us everywhere. And it will pay us to understand what it is, because the enemy would want to make you and me feel very alone. And he would want us to feel that God isn't right there with us. We won't be able to feel His holy presence, or maybe even hear His voice. And that is part of coming down to the close. That's where we have to hold on and maintain our faith, the faith that He said, "Will I find it when I come back?" So we're in this time, but we're shooing. We're doing whatever we're doing. Our works, our labor is toward His name. And it is for His glory. I'm thinking of another scripture that says that he would take note. Now, this is not what it says. I'm just paraphrasing it. He would take note of even if you give a cup of cold water in His name. Now, you could give a cup of cold water in your name. I did it. I'm the one that gave that person a cup of cold water and received no praise or blessing. But when you do it in the name of Jesus, you'll receive the reward. Yes. Thank the Lord. And so the next scripture is 1 Corinthians 3 and 13 and 14. And it says, "Every man's work will be manifest." Listen, our lives are not to be hid under a bushel. Our lives should be a light. Hide it under a bushel? No. See, we teach the little children this, and the word of the Lord speaks about this, that we not hide our light from the world. Because we're to be like a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid, but is made manifest that others can see it. We're living in a dark world, I said. There's many people out there that are not, they don't have light. But maybe your light might be able to shine forth and enlighten somebody to draw them to yourself? No. To draw them to Christ. Thank the Lord. So every man's work is going to be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now, it's not going to be a literal fire. Oh, it will be in the end when everything burns up. But fire represents testings and tryings and difficult places, and where, as Paul said, he despaired of life. That's the fire. It's the trying and the testing, and it will test our work before God, and it will declare it. And it says, "And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." You know, when the children of Israel were being led out of Egypt and they were to be led to the promised land, there were many places that you can find scriptures where it says, there, in that place, that's what it meant, in that place, he tried them. He put them to the test. Are they going to murmur and complain because they didn't have what they wanted? What they had in Egypt, they had the onions and the melons and the garlic and all of these things, and now they're in a place where they only had manna, and then they complained because they didn't have meat. It was in those places that they were being tested and tried. How are you going to look at God? You're going to blame God? Well, this says that every man's work will prove what sort of work it is. For what reason are you living this way? For what reason are you believing this way? It will prove itself. If any man's work abides, if it proves to be faithful, he shall receive a reward. It's going to be part of that crown that we will take off and cast it at his feet, because we're not worthy. We didn't make it on our own. We're there only because of grace, only because of the blood, only because of love.
Yes.
The next scripture is Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. You know, we probably haven't really read these scriptures very often of late. We have to be reminded that what I do it unto the Lord. I'm not doing it unto you. When the Lord gives a message, he does it because he wants it given to you, but it's not for any reputation of earthly men. So we do not do these things as unto men. And it says, knowing that the Lord, of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's where our rewards will be. What are your rewards? Do you feel rewarded? Well, it's when you have fought the battle, you have gone through the hard places and came out on the other side, and you had victory, and you, that's the reward. That's when we begin to build up the reward. It says over in another place for us to lay up treasures where? In heaven, where the thief can't come and where the moth doesn't eat and mar it and no rust will affect the kind of reward that is over in heaven.
Yes.
But there's rewards here that will be only for here. It will not affect over there. So we do everything heartily as unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? The work of the Lord is your salvation. And abounding in the work of the Lord is one thing. It takes daily effort. It's like the Lord's commanded the children of Israel on manna. You go out in the morning and you gather up the manna, and it lasts for that day. You can't gather it for the next day. It will have worms and it will be molded. And so every day you seek the will of the Lord and the grace of God, and he will supply for every day. Thank the Lord. So then it says, abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. The next verse is Matthew 25 and 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, that's what the Lord is looking at in our lives, is our faithfulness. If we are faithful, it will be part of our reward. Being faithful to endure to the end. If we give up along the way, what good will it do? It will avail me nothing in the end. I have to endure to the end to be saved. And thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. And then it says, enter into the joy of the Lord. So as we go along the way, and as we prove ourselves faithful to the Lord and in his work and doing it as unto the Lord and not unto men, that will begin to develop and it will begin to mature, and I will be able to learn how to avail myself through the grace of God over many things. God is not one that drives. He is a God that leads. He is the shepherd. You are the sheep. He does not drive his sheep. He leads them gently along. And so he's not going to lead you into an experience of somebody that has been saved 50 years. He wants to teach you one step at a time. He wants you to grow like a little tree that has been planted by a seed. And as the years grow, as the years go, rather, and the tree begins to develop, and soon it is one of these. He's not going to require you and me to be a full-grown tree. He wants to teach us and develop us a little at a time. He's a good God. So we can enter into the joys of the Lord. So Proverbs 11 and 18, just a short verse there. To him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. I want to refer back now to Revelations, the fourth chapter, where it said the 24 elders were clothed in white raiment and had gold crowns on their head. The commentator spoke of it as being representative of all the redeemed. The 24 elders was just a picture of the redeemed of the earth, and the gold crowns represented the rewards that were offered by Jesus to those who were faithful. So this is just a picture of our own response. What our response will be if you pass the judgment seat and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. You will take the crown. The scripture speaks about the crown of life. It has, in the New Testament, it refers to different scriptures about you wearing a crown, me wearing a crown. But when we get there, we're going to say, I'm not worthy, but thou art worthy. And I'm going to cast my crown at his feet before his throne. And you and I will be giving him whatever might have been counted as honor to us in any way. You know, people have a tendency to honor one another and build them up. Let us never receive man's honor. It's fake. It's fickle. They can honor you one day and dishonor you the next day. But the honor of God is true, and it will be righteous. And he will not honor us if we are unrighteous. But if we are his children and we are the redeemed of the earth, he will honor the work he has done in us. Thank the Lord. So I don't know, do we have titles? I suppose there's people that have titles. I want to tell you something that I read. It was very interesting to me about this. It was reported that Queen Victoria of England, she reigned 63 years over England. She began her reign when she was only 18 years old. But she had a reputation that was of strict standards of personal morality. She was not your normal royal queen. This is what she said. She wished for Jesus' second coming during her reign so she could literally remove her crown and lay it at his feet. A queen of England, realizing that she was not the queen except God put her there. He placed her there. She reigned for 63 years. I would like to refer to a song now that came to my mind. It's 466, and it's verse 4. And it says, "When before the throne I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down." Do you have any trophies? Do you have anything that represents your victories and where you won? I remember when I was in high school, there in the Guthrie High School, old Guthrie High School building, you walked up many steps into the building, and as you walked in, on that whole wall was trophy cases. And it represented every victory that they won in the sports field. They were called trophies. They represented something that was very meaningful to the school. Well, you know what? God wants us to have a trophy case that we can remember our victories that His grace helped us to win. Yes. And so when we get there, we'll take our trophies. We'll lay them down, all down at Jesus' feet. And then this song is, "Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe." Jesus deserves all the credit, and He deserves all of the glory. Yes. And I read this somewhere. It left an impression on me. It said, "In this one act, the saints are officially confessing two truths regarding their fruitful labor for which they have been rewarded, and it's that Jesus deserves it all. I don't. He deserves the credit and He deserves the glory." It is understood that you and I could not be faithful without His enabling intervention. And that's what that means over there. They sang the song of the Lamb. They knew the one that deserved all of the glory was the one that enabled them. It is only by the grace of God. So in closing, I want to give you two short verses, John 15, 5 through 6. Just as reminders, it says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. For without me, ye can do nothing." The final scripture is 2 Corinthians 3 and 5. And it was given also this morning in Sunday school. Our sufficiency is of God. Just a little portion to remind us that we have no sufficiency of ourselves. But it is God who will be the reason His grace, His mercy, His compassions, and the love of God will be the reason you and I are there. If we make it, thank the Lord. So I'm trusting that we'll keep it in our mind that our works is going to be there. They're going to follow us as we enter into eternity. our deeds, the work that we have done in His name, it will be part of our glory and praise and honor to the one that deserves it more than we do. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.